Pete Badillo.
I didn't want to give him my first and middle name because I was afraid what it would come out. But, you know, I preach over in Houston at Community Bible Church. Them brethren, I'd like for you all to keep them in your prayers. You know, with the hurricane and all, there was a lot of devastation. And we have not been able to hold services there at Community Bible Church because of the devastation that was there. So please keep them all in your prayers. If you would, could you please come over to with me, and we'll get started in Matthew 4. This is like, come on, or is it on? I'm on right now? Okay. I'd like to take a look at a few things with regards to God's Word and the doctrine for us today, the church, the body of Christ. You know, in verse 4, Matthew 4, verse 4, if you'd read with me, but he answered and said, and that's Jesus Christ, if you would, we could start in verse 3. And when the tempter came to him, that's Jesus Christ, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones be made to bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You know, the mouth of God's word can only be found in a King James Bible from Genesis all the way to the book of Revelations. I don't know anywhere else where you would find God's word written down, but there. That's the only place I would find it. That's the only place. There's other religions that say that you could find it somewhere else. But the only place that I believe that God's word is today is in a King James Bible from Genesis to the book of Revelations. So with that in mind, come with me, if you would, to 1 Peter. No, 2 Peter. 2 Peter 1. Turn it off. See, I get a little excited up here when I start preaching. Sometimes I knock this around and... Is it on? Am I on? Now I'm on? Okay, good. In 2 Peter chapter 1, let's read verse 20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Every word found in a King James Version are God's words. So us, we here today, if you have a testimony of salvation, the only place you would have found it, the gospel of Christ, is in a King James Version. Come with me if you would, and let's read this. Because the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Salvation for you today is in the gospel of Christ. Well, let's look at what the gospel of Christ is. Come with me to 1 Corinthians 15, please. 1 Corinthians 15, and I think I turned it off again, didn't I? Right, okay. 1 Corinthians 15, and we'll start reading in verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein ye stand. Verse 2, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all, and that word first is very important, brethren. I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That is the gospel of your salvation. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. There is nothing else there. And remember, brethren, you all, in time past, you know what? You were without God and without hope in the world. Understand that. That you were separated from God in time past. But there was a man on the road to Damascus by the name of Saul in Acts 9 on the road to Damascus who received the gospel of Christ first. He was the first one. And he was a blasphemer. What did Jesus Christ say about blasphemy? Does anybody remember that? Go with me to Matthew 12. Let's look at that. Come with me to Matthew 12, verse 31.
Still have paper.
Verse 31. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Now, there's been brothers here that have been preaching. We've been talking about rightly dividing the word of truth. Jesus Christ, when he makes that statement, he's talking about the world where he is at that time. And as Brother Gross had mentioned, who were the disciples, the apostles, and Jesus Christ preaching to? To the lost sheep of the house of Israel. We are not the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But when Jesus Christ was preaching prior to the cross, he talked about that world. And then there's a world to come in the future. And anyone that blasphemed against the Holy Ghost could not be forgiven in this world, where he was talking about in Matthew 12, nor in the world to come. There's another world. Talking about two different worlds, brethren. And Paul the Apostle on the road to Damascus was a blasphemer. And he was the one that was committed to the gospel of Christ by which you all are saved. And he says it himself. So let's look at Scripture. Don't take my word for it. One of the things about preachers and the reason that the church, the body of Christ, is in such apostasy today with religion and people up here in pulpits mixing this with that and that with this, and it's all messed up. And we can't even sit together with other preachers of other denominations. And that's an interesting name, right? Denominations, divisions. We're not supposed to be divided. We are the church, the body of Christ, people. Anyone that believes that, we're all members of the same body. We're all sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. We are all brothers in Christ. Yet, we have how many denominations? 400 different denominations? And over 80% of them say that you can lose your salvation. What is that all about? And you know what it is? It's a lack of understanding who they are in Christ. Where they are in God's plan today. We were lost, brethren. You are uncircumcised at the time prior to Paul the Apostle writing Ephesians 2. You all were without hope and without God in the world. Essentially, you could not have been saved. You were not associated with the nation of Israel. You ever wonder about Romans 1:16? We quote Romans 1:16 a lot. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation. And then we stop. What else is there? To the Jew first, and also the Greek. Isn't that interesting? Do you all go, when you sit there and you go into assembly, or you talk to people about the gospel of Christ, or if you go into a city, do you go to the Jew first? No, we don't do that. Why is that? Well, if we had the time to do this, which I'm not, there's a middle wall of partition that came down. Okay? And that's in Ephesians 2. So come with me to Ephesians 2 so I can show you who you all were at one time. Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2, verse 11. Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles of the flesh were called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision of the flesh made by hands, that at that time, when was that, brethren? Time past. In time past, ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having what? No hope, and without God in the world. But now. So there's a time past, now there's a but now. Something different. There was a time, in time past, when there was a distinction of circumcision and uncircumcision. Now let me ask you a question. When there was a distinction between the circumcision and uncircumcision, where would you have been with the uncircumcision? When there was a distinction, when God made a distinction between mankind, between those that were His people and those that were not. Who was Jesus Christ when He was ministering on the earth, giving out the commissions to the 12 disciples and then 12 apostles, the Great Commission of Matthew 28, who was He sending them to? The nation of Israel. Jesus Christ was a minister unto the who? Circumcision, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. When Jesus Christ was on His earthly ministry, He was sent forth to the circumcision. And that was prophesied. That was written. Okay? It's in the Scriptures. They could find that and seek that out. But what was committed to Paul the Apostle, where you all could be saved, was a mystery. It was a mystery. Hid since before the foundation of the earth, of the world. A mystery. Is it still a mystery? You know, I was talking to a preacher one time, and I said, can you tell me what the mystery is committed to Paul the Apostle? He says, it's a mystery. Have you heard that before? Give me a break. He's a preacher. I said, no, I don't think so. You know what? If we recognize who our apostle was, who our apostle is, it's not a mystery. It's there. It's in the Scriptures. Let God be true and every man a liar. You ever heard that? You know that word, let? That means a lot, doesn't it? You know what let does, what that means? You got to allow God's word to be true. I learned this, brethren. I was taught this. There was a man when I was in the Marine Corps. I was a Lance Corporal in the Marine Corps. I don't know how many of you all have been in the service, but I was a Lance Corporal in the Marine Corps. Okay, I was a ground pounder, a grunt. And there was a gentleman by the name of John Verstegen, a captain in the Marine Corps. Now, when I was in the service, captains and lance corporals did not intermingle. They didn't talk to each other. You know, if you went before a captain, you're going to be going to the brig. That's the only reason you'd be going there, or even talk to a captain. Well, I was sitting there studying the Scriptures. I was not saved at the time. I was what you would call an unsaved believer. There are a lot of unsaved believers, aren't there, in church today? They believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They believe He came of the Virgin Mary. They believe in Moses. They believe in Abraham. But they never came to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And what is God's will? That all men might be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. So every individual that you come in contact with as members of the church and body of Christ and having a ministry of reconciliation and ambassadors of Christ, your job is to give them the gospel of Christ, because you don't know if they're saved. In a crowd this big, who's to say that everybody's saved here? Praise God, I hope we are. The rapture comes and we're out of here. I love that. But you know what? We don't know that. The only way you know if an individual is saved is based on the words that come out of his mouth. That's the only way. I've asked people, are you saved? Yeah, I'm saved. Well, when did you get saved? Well, I got baptized. I've been in church all this time. And I went when as a child. Well, you know what? A lot of times what I'll do is when I start getting those kind of responses, I'll say, you know what? Let me tell you about when I got saved. And by telling them that when I got saved because a man told me that Jesus Christ came and died for my sins. and that He was buried, and He rose again the third day for my justification. And that all my sins are taken care of. All my sins are forgiven. All my trespasses were put on the cross, like Dan had written. Like the brother had written that, you know what? I was born in 1962, and who knows when I'm going to die. If the rapture doesn't take place, I don't know when I'm going to die. But I know that all of my sins were placed on the cross. Every single one. And why is that? Because Scripture says it. Colossians 2:13 says that all trespasses, all means all, right? Not to that point that I got saved. Is that what that means? No, all means all. But, anyway, so John Versagan taught me this. So when we come together as groups and we, in Bible studies or with brethren and preachers and pastors and you have, you know, you're doing the work of the ministry, it's to establish you so that when you go somewhere else or you hear people talking in the name of the Lord and saying things in the name of the Lord, you're able to sit there and say, I don't think so. Or yes, amen. Amen, or wait a second, that's not right. Because you know who you are in Christ. You know where you are in God's plan. And you know where we are here? We are the church, the body of Christ. That's who we are. 1 Corinthians 12, we're found right here. And you know where those, where you find out where you're at? In the books of Romans through Philemon, whom Paul wrote by inspiration of the Holy Ghost, and he's the one that says, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. You want to understand what's going over here in the books of Matthew through John? You want to know what's going on in the books of Acts? You want to know what's going to happen in the book of Revelations? You want to know what's happening in the book of Daniel? Well, you know what? Consider what your apostle says, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Amen? So, being in the service, once again, when John Verstegen came by and I was sitting there studying from a Gideon Bible, searching, I wanted to please God. I always have. I come from a Roman Catholic background. I was supposed to be a, what do you call it, father? Priest. I was supposed to be a priest. I was being groomed as a child to be a priest. My name is Armando Badillo. But every one of my cousins in my age, every one of them were given popes or apostles' surnames. Mine's with Peter. So I was being groomed to be a priest. So I've always known about God. I always thought that, you know, I would go to those churches with the idol and all the gold and the incense and on and on and on. I was like, man, that's beautiful. I want to be close to that. So I was searching the Scripture. I've always looked at the Scriptures. I've always known about it. But I was reading a Gideon Bible, King James Version. I was studying it. And I was sitting in a hallway. And John Versailles walked by. Well, you know, I didn't look up. I was at lunch looking at my Bible, but I saw his boots. I'll never forget his boots. I mean, you could, the sun would reflect off of that, and it was enough light for the whole room. And so anyways, he goes, and then I'm like, well, okay, good. He's got past me, and that's okay. And then he turns around and stands in front of me. And I slap real tight, and I come to a position of attention. And you never look a man in the eye. I'm not a captain in the Marine Corps. A Lance Corporal Captain, you don't look him in the eye. So I'm looking him past his shoulder, his left shoulder. He's asked me, what are you doing, Marine? Well, sir, I'm at lunch. He says, well, I didn't ask that. What are you doing? Well, sir, I'm at lunch. I've got an hour break. I'm at lunch. Not looking at him. Gets real close to my head, I remember, and he goes, what's that in your hand? I said, well, sir, I got it. It's a Bible. And you know what? Being a grunt in the Marine Corps at that time, Lance Corporal, you know, you're all tough and strong. And you don't take any... Anyways, I don't want to go there. I said, sir, it's a Gideon Bible. He goes, really? He goes, do you mind if I study with you? And he had a Bible in his arm. King James Version. I was like, well, sir, no, not at all, sir. Let's go. So we studied. We studied for 6 months straight and studied right division. And May 14th, 1984, 2 months into studying with him, he showed me, I finally got it, that Jesus Christ came and died for my personal sins. Everything that I could possibly think of that I had done or will do or have done, he took care of it there, who was sinless. He was sinless and he died for me. But see, I just see it in Scripture. The gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. It's the gospel of Christ that's important. It's not who brings it to you. It's you might not be able to reach somebody that I could. Or I could reach somebody that you can't. You see what I'm saying? It's about the gospel. It's all about Christ. Not about us. I mean, look, we're here today because someone told us the gospel of Christ. And you know what? That all goes back to who our apostle is and who it was committed to first. Come with me, if you would, to 1 Timothy 1. You know, I sit there and I hear people, I hear preachers on the TV, evangelists and all that, and I just listen to what they say. And I don't listen to them because there's not much to listen to anyways. But when once you know, I listen to what they say and then I put it against God's Word, well, I'm not going to listen to you anymore when you deny the deity of Christ or that Christ came and died for all your sins. It's true. In other words, God's Word isn't important enough to you. Maybe your congregations are. Maybe your salary is. That's what it is, right? Maybe it's the shows. Maybe it's the glitter. Maybe it's all of that. But you know what? In God's eyes, it doesn't matter. What matters is His Son, right? It's all about that. But as I was saying, your gospel, the gospel that saves you and saves me today, it started with Paul the Apostle. 1 Timothy 1, verse 12. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Who was before a what? A blasphemer. I thought that when Jesus Christ, in Matthew 12, He said, He wouldn't be forgiven in this world, nor the world to come. Now we know that couldn't have talked about Paul. Paul was a blasphemer. But Paul wrote 13 books in the New Testament, and in those 13 books, you find your salvation. You're established for today. When you sit there and you consider the things that Paul says, you know what? There's a peace that comes over you. You know, there is a peace that comes over that no one can explain. We were alone. Me and my family were alone in Merced, California, until we moved to New Braunfels, Texas. There was nobody there that would even listen. Nobody. And I tell you, I used to go to the malls. I used to go to the swap meets. I used to go to the street corners preaching the gospel of Christ, preaching this for years, and not a peep. They thought I was a kook. And it's there. They thought I was a kook. You know what they thought was a kook? It was the Word of God. You show them the truth found in God's Word, and they will reject it. Once you sit there and you rock the boat on their denominationalism and say, wait a second, you know what? We're forgiven all our trespasses. Well, what about 1 John 1:9? Well, why don't you read out and find out who it's written to? It ain't written to you, brethren. Those books over there, what we call the Hebrewic epistles, that ain't for you. Are you a Hebrew? No. You know what you are? You're a sinner. And not only are you a sinner, but you are without God, without hope in the world. And that was a time past. But let's continue forward in 1 Timothy 1. Who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. What are those next words? Of whom I am chief. If somebody's a chief, is there anybody else that could be over the chief? He's the chief. He's the blasphemer and he's the chief. Right? We know that already, right? So nobody can go over Paul. But look at this in verse 16. Howbeit, for this cause I obtain mercy that in me what? First, Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on Him to life everlasting. So He's the chief. And it was in Him what? What was that word? First. Him first. Howbeit for this, in Him first. Now, let me ask you a question, brethren. Continue on that verse. Let's read again, verse 16. Howbeit for this cause I obtain mercy that in me first, Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on Him to life everlasting. You know what? I'm in the building industry. I don't know if you knew that. But what I do, I build residential and commercial framing. That's what I do for a living. And I remember I hired this one crew to do rafter tails. I don't know. You know what rafter tails are? I'm sure you all do. Rafter tails, they're the tails that come out of a house. Here's a wall, and then you have your roof coming down. You got a cut. Okay? Well, this cut right here, you can make a pattern. So now you know exactly if you're going to go 3 inches here and come off or whatever. And you cut it off there. And now every rafter tail is going to be the same. That's a pattern. And then you can cut 3,000 tails with that pattern and they're all the same. Well, this crew that I hired, they had 3 patterns. I remember I walked up to them. They said, we're done. We're ready to get paid. You know, with fascias on, everything's good to go. I said, really? Okay, I'll come out there. And it was like, whoa. I just shook my head and said, walk away. I said, no, I don't think so. Well, Paul's our pattern. Paul's the pattern. He's the pattern. Paul says, Romans 11, that he's our apostle to the Gentiles. Paul also says, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, come with me to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2. This is why this is real easy for me to understand when John Verstegen, as a captain of Marines Corps, was teaching me this. It was real easy for me to understand that Paul was my apostle. Because me in the service, you follow orders. You're given orders to follow. You're told to do certain things. To follow in order to accomplish the mission. So when I read these verses right here that we're going to go over, they were real clear to me. I don't know if they're clear to you. Study them. Write them down. Go home and study it out. You know, you should be taking notes. The church where we're at, I encourage and very strongly encourage people to write down notes. Take this down and go study it. Don't take my word for it. Be a Berean. Be a good Berean. But it says in 2 Timothy 2, verse 7, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in what? All things. All things? All means all, right? Just like let means let, all means all. All. So consider all. Where would you all go to consider what Paul said? The books of Romans through Philemon. You think, maybe? That's where it is, and it's God's Word, and it's inspired by the Holy Spirit. Write that down. So the only place I spend time and I study Scripture, I mean, I study the 66 books. I know where they're at. And there's probably brethren here that could go to Micah and just blow my mind on it. But you know what? I spend most of my studying in the doctrine that was committed to me. As Paul the Apostle said to do. Now come with me to Philippians. A couple more verses. I see people rubbing their belly, so. Philippians 4, verse 9. Follow along with me, brother. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, what? do. And listen to what you get if you do that. And the God of peace shall be with you. So when you're standing alone and your family rejects you because you believe in the gospel of Christ and what Christ has done for you, the peace that comes, would you rather have peace with your family or with God? Amen. I mean, I want all my family to know and know that they're saved. But it's not up to me. Who gives the increase? God. It's not about me. It's not about me and it's not about you. It's about Christ. And you know what? I'd rather my family reject me because of the gospel of Christ and have peace with God than to be at peace with them and be in turmoil. I would. I don't know about you all, but I would. And last, come with me to Philippians 3, verse 17. Now, this wouldn't mean very much to those that are not saved. So why don't you get saved? Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk, so as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. And I could go on and on and on this. But look, if people reject the gospel of Christ, committed to Paul the Apostle, as our apostle, what are they? Enemies of the cross. That's why I don't believe in denominations. That's why I'm not in a denomination, brethren. What would you join anyways? You're part of the church, the body of Christ. Once you believe in the gospel of Christ, you become a member of the body of Christ. Why would you want to go join a denomination? Huh? Why? We're not under the ordinances anymore. Ephesians 2. The blood of Christ took care of all that. And your apostle told you that. I could check somebody out real quick just by asking them, who's your apostle? I've done it. And I won't do that. I do that in the sense that when it's a teacher or a preacher or a pastor or a father, somebody in a position where they're sitting there preaching false doctrine, deceiving and being deceived. There's more lost people in the pews than the honky tonks, brethren, because they're led with a false security in their works. Believe me, oh, I got water baptized and that's going to take care of it. Give me a break. Do you all know why John the Baptist was water baptizing? What was that? And? Yes, exactly. Okay? That's what it's for. Are you going to confirm Jesus Christ to the nation of Israel? Where is there a nation of Israel, brethren? There ain't one. That thing out there, it's an apostasy. They reject that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, if you want, I believe that yes, we should have friends there in that area. I mean, everybody hates us. But if you're thinking that by giving to them, you're getting a blessing, why don't you study the scriptures and find out? Consider what Paul says. And God give you the understanding in all things. You'll understand that that isn't the nation of Israel. Remember, they became Lo Ami. Remember that? So, I've rambled. I'm thankful for the opportunity to be here with you all, brethren. It's a blessing to be here with brothers and sisters in Christ and fellowship to know that you're not out there by yourselves. You're not alone. Remember, there was 4,000 men that didn't bow down to idol of Baal. Remember that, right? And they didn't even know it. So, I believe that, how many disciples were there in Acts 1? 120. And you know what it is to be a disciple?
pick up your cross and follow Christ. And what was Christ going to? The cross. Okay, so praise the Lord for the opportunity that we're in grace. Thank you for this opportunity, brother. I look forward to fellowshipping with you all for the rest of the week. You want to close in a word of prayer? Blessed Father, thank you for this opportunity for us once again to come around your blessed word. May your word become as real to us as it is to you. May we go forth continuing to minister the ministry of reconciliation, and may you be with the men here today and the following days, that they might edify us as members of the church, the body of Christ. In Jesus Christ's precious holy name, we give thanks unto you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Give it to you, brother.